かはんにゃはらみたしんぎょう。
Thank you for joining the Zen Care Podcast. These recorded Dharma talks are given freely to our community in the heart of New York City, which we are honored to now share with you. New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care is dedicated to transforming the nature of care through contemplative practice by meeting illness, aging, and death with compassion and wisdom.Learn about us at zencare.org.
Today is the 26th day of our 90-day practice period. Just getting into it.Some beautiful, beautiful talks from just this past week from Yuko Wakayama Roshi. She's an amazing teacher and abbot of a temple in Tokyo, and Jisho Warner. So amazing to hear these incredible teachers. So clear. Seeing things through.You can just feel that in how they talk. You can feel that they're nowhere else. Not living in a ghost story of what was, as most of us are.Kind of still living in some old story. Humbling and so popular to not actually live where we are.And so easy to forget that we think that our life is our life. This, we think it's the shape of this body. Our obsession with our bodies in a very particular way.This past week, I was sharing with my teacher some of the stories that some of the teachers have been sharing about Kodo Sawaki Roshi, and who was, you know, often referred to a lion of practice. And Kojima Roshi was sharing with me the story of his grandfather, who he never met, who he feels deep gratitude towards. His grandfather was a student of Kodo Sawaki at Komazawa University, and in the middle of his studies, World War II broke out, and all the young people were being enlisted into the army. So too, Kojima Roshi's grandfather. And at that time, they would wear an obi with the head of a big tiger across it. And all the people in the army, and the tiger was to, like, you know, win the war, to,have that kind of tiger-like mind. And it was a custom to ask people who are important to you to write their name on your obi so that when you went to war, it was not just you going to war, you were being supported. And his grandfather thought of only one person who he wanted to have their name on his obi, which was his teacher, Kodosawaki Roshi. And he went to Kodosawaki Roshi to ask him, and Kodosawaki said, no. And then they had this Dharma exchange, and eventually he said, okay, give me the ink, and so I will write my name. But as he was leaving, Kodosawaki just pointed to him and said, you have to promise me one thing. And he said, of course, which tells you something about student-teacher relationship. Don't die. So he took that to heart. And went to war. And at the time, when in the Japanese army at that time, if you made a mistake, you were often asked, actually commanded, to commit seppuku, to kill yourself, if you made a mistake. Here we're a bit more loose. If you make a mistake, So his grandfather made a mistake and was commanded to kill himself, to commit seppuku. And those of you who are familiar with Japanese culture, it's not sort of a maybe situation. And he remembered his teachers, what he promised his teacher. Not to die. So he defied his commander's order and was dismissed from the military, of course, and went back to Chokokoji Temple in Enna City, which is in between Tokyo and Kyoto, and became a priest. And he died quite young after he had a child, and so Kojima Roshi never met him, but he wrote this small essay about this experience and how that changed his life, and that's the only reason we know about it. But the beauty is that, you know, Kojima Roshi has always appreciated and been so grateful for Kodosawaki Roshi, because without him, he would not be alive. And indirectly, New York Zen Center would not be what it is without Kodosawaki. So it's this very important reminder that we often get so self-obsessed, thinking about me and how am I and my identity and how I want you to see me, and forgetting this long line of reality. There's a reason why we talk about lineage so much here, because it's just another way to actually remember that none of us are here without all of our Indian ancestors, our Chinese ancestors, our Japanese ancestors. Like, none of us would be in this wando right now without them. But the key is, how do you actually change your behavior now, being aware of that? To me, it's like what inspires gratitude in me. Like, can I really do a, I always could do a bit better because I could be a bit more grateful. Which to me is a very beautiful way to practice. Very beautiful. So the selected text from today from Koda Sawaki is quite interesting. He says, Zazen is the Buddha that we form out of our raw flesh. Zazen is the Buddha that we form out of our raw flesh. So we have this raw flesh. In Zazen, it's actually what helps us to make it into the Buddha, which is not personal. Not personal at all. Learning how to get out of only the personal. So it doesn't mean to also deny our eccentric, quirky nature. Because that often, the more you practice, the more that comes out. The more your freak flag flies, but not in the way that we tend to think. Like Koda Sawaki himself was very eccentric. Totally himself. But there's something very beautiful about going beyond what we think we are and realizing that we're moving towards Buddha. Awakening. It's not just about what I think and feel. It's like using this raw, literally raw material, raw flesh, for actually something way beyond me and you. It's a very rare thing, you know, and some of us are taking the next, this whole spring period to study Treasury of the True Dharma Eye, the teachings of Dogen that have been just recently retranslated by Soto Shu in Japan in honor of the 100th anniversary of the first Japanese temple in the United States. And this week we're studying the Shijin Gakudo, which is studying the way with body and mind. And this is one of the very early writings of Dogen after he returned from China. And he wrote it at Koshoji, which is just outside of, which is his first monastery, in 1242. Some say it was the fourth thing that he wrote after he came back. But his, the whole piece is really about studying the way, is to study the way of the Buddhas. It's not to study about me. Many of us that like study my way, that is not what the way is. And it is, it says that, you know, in the piece, he simply to learn, oh, what did the Buddha say? Or what did Dogen say? Or what did whoever say? But to study it means to actually embody it. Like what you're doing with your raw flesh. He was not interested in intellectualization of practice, which is like one of the main reasons why I love him so much. sometimes he's hard to understand because he's a poet and not linear. But he's only interested in the embodiment of practice as the way to actually practice the way of the Buddhas. So beautiful. So in the very beginning of this piece where he says, the way of the Buddhas, should we think not to speak of it? We cannot. Should we think not to study it? We grow distant from it. So the way of the Buddhas, should we think not to speak of it? We cannot. So we have to speak of it. We have to talk about it, which is always embarrassing. But then should we think to not study it? If we don't really practice it, if we're not really practicing it, we grow distant from it. So if you intellectualize it, you move away from it. If you're not practicing it at all, we move away from it. If you think practice is what happens here in the Wando, you move away from it. But if you realize it's actually throughout your day and your life, as it has been for 88 generations, then we're kind of getting somewhere in sort of the right understanding. He says, when we do not study the way of the Buddhas, we fall into ways of other paths. It is for this reason that prior Buddhas and later Buddhas invariably practice the ways of the Buddhas. It is for this reason that Buddhas of the past and later, beyond us. So he's describing this big stream of all these people that is part of the lineage, which is part of the awakened way. Or as Jisho Warner, she talked about that warm hand to warm hand. Warm hand to warm hand. That this does not happen by ourselves. And that's why there's such an emphasis on face-to-face meeting in our tradition. So how do you do that? It, to me, is incredibly simple. So simple, it's so difficult. Simple, we need so much support. Koto Sawaki says, just sitting Shikan Taza is the greatest thing that we can do with the raw flesh of an ordinary person. So just sitting, just being here without wanting or grasping after gain. Just being here, feeling the light coming through the window right now is the way of the Buddhas. Feeling the pain in your knee, noticing your distraction and returning, noticing how you wished it would be and returning. He says, the Chinese character for pelvis or hips, koshi, is composed of the character of for flesh on the left side of the character and essential on the right side. Essential flesh. Like really being seated. Not planning. Not rehearsing, not fantasizing, not deluding, but actually really sitting in this essential opportunity of being in our flesh. With our healing knees, perhaps. He says, in Zazen, from the beginning, it is essential that the pelvis is firmly anchored on the cushion. Like, are you really here? You can really feel who's not here. It's so ordinary. There's a kind of famous koan where a teacher is about to give a talk and asks two people to roll up the blinds. And two people go and roll up the blinds, and he approves of one and not the other. That there is a difference to what we do with our raw flesh. Many of you look like you're here, but how many are you are actually here? How often are we indulging our distraction? Commentary, deciding whether we like what I'm saying or not, or maybe not even thinking about it in a dream. Essential flesh to me is such a wonderful reminder. Ah. Here I am on my essential flesh right now. Because we know that our lives are short. Some longer than others. But none of them very long. So what will we do with this essential nature? How do we root ourselves and become expansive? How do we actually create the conditions where we can feel more free? And nowhere else. Rooted and expansive and free. What we are in charge of and responsible for is what we do. Feelings and thoughts come and go. Many of us drive our lives by our opinions about our thoughts and feelings. And yet, the opportunity is to see what we do beyond the indulgence, to really create the conditions that are loving and rooted and expansive.
Shari, she,